Where do you go for comics new and old? Where do you see your favorite television and movie stars? And where do you go to see the best in cosplay? Wizard World Comic Con. Wizard World Comic Con offers live entertainment and gaming, comics new and old, cosplay, toys and memorabilia, and a chance to meet your favorite television and movie stars. For news, celebrity updates, and tickets to future shows, go to wizardworld.com. Don't feel like paying full price? No problem. Use promo code CANDAIR at checkout to get 10% off your tickets. So, where are you going to go for your pop culture fix? Wizard World Comic Con. Go to wizardworld.com for tickets.
Whoa, dudes, Michelangelo here from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original one. Yeah, and you are listening to Canned Air Podcast. It happens to be a tribute to comics and pop culture, like yours truly, Cowabunga!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I'm Jeremy Collin.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And hot damn, fellas, what a hell of an episode we have today.
Yes, sir.
You know how I love my turtles, and we have the king returning, the creator, Mr. Kevin Eastman, is gracing us with his presence once again. I'm beside myself.
We
I don't know
are
about
not
you guys. I'm very excited about this. Excited about not only because the obvious, he created the turtles, and we can geek out with him about the turtles, but about drawing blood. You know, Jack and I, we backed Volume 1, and man, the payoff was so rewarding. That was such a good book. We had
it took a little longer than expected, I think, but
it was about a year, I think, about typical.
Yeah.
But for what we got, I mean, that was a lot, you know.
They were still creating it, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was, but it was so good, worth the wait, worth the money. We're definitely going to get on the second round, and we encourage you guys to do the same. We'll tell you more about it if you don't know about it, but it's, Drawing Blood, he describes it as the fictional true stories behind the stories. Did I say that right? The fictional true stories?
Right,
behind, okay, cool. But before we do that, we're going to be in our retro roundtable once again, talking about TMNT. Now, we did this the first time we had Kevin on, and shaped up to be a pretty good conversation. That was when Jake was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the classic Mercedes in the garage, Technodrome in the toy box quote came from. That's been quoted several times since. I strongly encourage listening to that. It's episode 196. Man.
Just before 200, huh?
Yeah, it's been almost exactly 2 years, I think. Since that.
Yeah, because it's about
two years. Yeah, they were doing that in August. Yeah. Funny how time slips away. Math. Yeah, you can check that out. And if you're even more curious to hear about the time I got to meet Kevin at the con in Canton, Ohio, we have a whole Patreon episode where I give a very, very detailed description of the day, which I'm not saying it turned out bad. I thought it turned out good.
It was a good episode.
It was entertaining, I thought. That whole day was just full of entertainment.
It was a story, that's for sure.
It was a story for sure. But that was episode 11 on our Patreon catalog, The Con with Kevin and Canton, it's titled. So for $5 a month, you can get in on that and you can check out that episode. But find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And again, if you want to hear The Con with Kevin and Canton or other Patreon episodes, you can head over there. And for $5 a month, you get access to those shows. So I think we've got over 20 episodes on there. So whole nother catalog to dig from, people. And if you're going to a Wizard World Con here in the near future, Jack, how soon is that happening?
22nd through the 25th. That's a four-dayer in
Chicago. Yep. We got to get those ads going if they're not.
Yep. Yeah, because after this post, it'll be the following weekend. Well, the weekend after.
We need to get him going now, then.
Yep.
Yeah, right now, then. But use Canned Air in the promo box at checkout. Get yourself 10% off your tickets. That will get you maybe a hot dog or maybe
a t-shirt, or depending what you're spending, it's going to get you something in that con, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a good way to look at it, I think.
That could be a handful of comics at the dollar dump bin.
When you say 10% off, it sounds so insignificant, but when you think about what you're spending, what that 10% could get you inside those doors, well, it becomes a little more appetizing.
The 10% off of a 4-day pass for that place.
Yeah, hey, that could be the comic you walked away from that you regret every day after.
Yeah, serious.
Right? So... again, Candair in the promo box at checkout at wizardworld.com. Anything else, guys?
Yeah, however you're getting your Candair fix, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, a ham radio set pieced together in your sewer workshop, tell your friends if you have the option to rate us, leave us a review, and let us know how we're doing. And you may hear it at the end of the episode, guys.
Are we on ham? How
about that? What?
Are we on ham?
Ham radio?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Calling Susie Poo.
I'm going to sing the never-ending story now.
Don't tempt me.
Nah. Let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
And here we go. I'll be back.
All right, guys. Once again, the TMNT in the Retro Roundtable. That's just where I like them. Where do you want to start, guys? I've got kind of my B list of topics because I listened to the 196 the first time we had Kevin on. I didn't want to repeat myself on anything, so I'm going to do my best not to, because if there's anything I do on this show, it's repeat myself.
I'll try not to rehash on any of my stuff. So
keeps everyone in the loop with the inside jokes that we try not to do.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, Randy, since this is your first TMNT retro.
Oh, boy.
Let's see what you got.
Should I just get myself kicked out of the room right now? I actually liked the third Ninja Turtles movie.
Let's look at this from afar.
All right? I've never seen it because it would just the second one wasn't great, and the third one there, I wasn't going to.
That first one's dark and gritty and just what it should be.
Yep. That and what's his name?
Vanilla Ice?
No, that... the kid that
Danny
Keto or
Kino.
Kino, yeah. He was just a whiny. Ugh.
Yeah, I found his character very pointless. Like, why? Why? I mean, other than the relatability factor, I can't be a turtle, but I can be Kino.
He actually was the actor in Donatello, I think, for the fights.
Was it? He was in the suit for Raph, I thought, in the first episode.
Was it Raph?
First movie.
I know he was in the suit for one of them. Ernie Reyes Jr.
Yeah. I've wanted to get him on the show before, but he's a busy man.
Is he?
Yeah, he was on some, like, primetime cop show, I thought. Doing something. I can't remember.
I just remember him in all the 80s movies. He was in The Last Dragon, too.
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't he in Surf Ninjas?
Hmm?
Wasn't he in Surf Ninjas, that actor?
Dude, I haven't seen Surf Ninjas since it like was newly released on VHS, if that tells you anything.
Oh, I'm thinking of Three Ninjas, not Surf Ninjas.
Big difference, too. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what, there really is. One of them had Cheech Marin.
Brothers don't surf.
was it Surf Ninjas with Cheech Marin, or was it Three Ninjas? I thought one of them had him in it.
I don't remember,
like,
man.
As a mentor or something.
Hell if I know.
I haven't seen either one of them.
I think the Three Ninjas was the one I took to. I don't remember if I even saw Surf Ninjas. That just... wow. I mean, that's Ninjas. 90s vomit right there.
Well, I just derailed this pod pretty quick.
No, but... yeah, the Three Ninjas I was into. Because at the time, the Turtles were huge. And, man, you know what? You're making a case for Kino, Randy.
All right.
Because I was only down with the Three Ninjas because they were kids about my age who knew ninjutsu. They knew karate. Right. You know, I could be that more than being a turtle that lives in the sewer.
Yeah. The only thing that really sticks out in my mind in the second movie is how fucking good that pizza looked in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
That New York style, great big slices.
Oh, yeah, big as your face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Gotta fold those bad boys. Oh, yeah.
They look so good.
Toka and Raisar were cool. They were just, it was dumb. They were babies. If they weren't children, they would have been a lot better.
I take it back. I dug them for what they were. I mean, Toka especially. How do you pronounce it again?
Toka and Razar?
Toka and Razar?
Razar, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. The only reason I immediately jumped to no was because it should have been Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that it wasn't gave us these two new characters, which did not die with that movie. They've gone on through the video games. They've gone on in different incarnations into the Nickelodeon series. That's right, I wouldn't be surprised if they even work them into the IDW comic series.
They were in the original the 80s cartoon, too, weren't they?
Towards the tail end? No, they were brand new for that movie.
Are you sure?
I think they were in the tail end of the...
I think there's some truth to Mr. Randy here. Can you research that on your phone really quick while we're... Because I think there's truth to that. Wow, a little ding went off in my brain.
How long did the series go, the TV cartoon?
Too long. No.
It was like 93 or something.
Did it go on for a while then?
It went on for like 12, 13 seasons anyway. It went on for a long time.
Did it really went on that long?
Yeah, it went into the 90s. It went like way past Shredder. Even like the bad guy was like a big alien bug, Drax, I think his name was Dread.
I know for the Nickelodeon one, yeah, I remember him.
But like, I bought they had like a season 10 for like $3 at Walmart one day, and I was like, hell, I'll buy that for $3.
I didn't know it went on that long.
But when I got it home, I found out it was the cheaper one because it was like all the later seasons that had the disposable villain. I can't remember his name.
Hmm.
Gentlemen, per Wikipedia, Token Razar only appeared once in the seventh season of the 1987 series. In 93, they were featured in the season 7 episode Dirk Savage Mutant Hunter. They were out-of-control mutants created when Shredder exposed zoo animals to mutagen years earlier.
And what year was that?
93.
So that would have followed... That would have been after the film, then.
Yeah, the film, I think, was 91.
Are there pictures?
Yeah, it would have had to have been. I want to see the pictures.
Yeah. I feel like I can remember. That's the only thing that made me think he was correct. Yes. Wow.
I think I remember seeing them now, yeah.
See? Oh, man.
See, I wasn't totally useless.
I'm so regretful that I jumped to the no, like, immediately, because, again, it was just a Bebop and Rocksteady thing. But they are good characters.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the whole, like, mama, baby acting
thing. That was what killed it, yeah.
Wore a little thin. But, yeah, if they were just, like, vicious. And I don't know, like, Razar in the film has, like, drool pouring out of his face.
Yeah, droopy lip.
Yeah.
But it's not how they were in the cartoon, if I remember right. I think the cartoon, like, the wolf, that's Razar, right?
Yes.
Okay. He had, like, I don't know, he talked, like, had, like, some, almost, like, an English accent or something. It was real, like...
What?
I don't know. We may have to... We may have to look it up.
You turtles.
No, not... I don't know. Maybe not.
Bugger, the turtles got away again. I'm sorry, Shredder.
Make sure it doesn't happen again, love.
Yeah, okay, maybe I was wrong on that. But I was right on them being in the cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. Even though it was after the movie.
Had to have been. There's no way.
There's no 93, no, because
yeah,
it was a couple years after the first movie that came out.
But the shit from the third movie isn't in the cartoons.
I'm glad it did happen, because those are cool characters.
Yeah.
Those are cool characters,
for sure. I was excited in the video game. To see them. What was it?
Yeah.
The Manhattan Escape from Manhattan.
Manhattan Project.
They were in the beat 'em up too, the arcade.
Really?
That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah, they were one of the boss characters.
Yeah.
In the.
Wait. Turtles in Time one.
That's the one, yeah.
I think Turtles in Time was based on the beat 'em up from Konami.
You're saying Token Razar weren't in Turtles in Time?
I what I remember him from was the arcade beat 'em up.
Which one, the original one, or which?
Yeah, the big arcade, like, machine where you could play as four players.
I don't think, were they in that?
Yeah, they were one of the boss characters.
Mm-hmm. I remember they were in the one of the arcade games.
What?
Yeah.
I thought it was Turtles in Time, though.
Because you
immediately start in the Technodrome, and you have to face them before you get to the screen room, which then you're hurtled through time.
They're probably in both. Hang on, back to Wikipedia.
I don't think so. I feel like that arcade cabinet predates that movie.
Because that's one of on our YouTube video. No, actually, we didn't even get to put that one up because we lost the footage for that game, I think. Yeah, for the Turtles. The Turtles never let us play that and put it up on YouTube.
I don't think so.
They were in three games, it looks like. They were in Turtles in Time.
So it had to have been what you're saying before, at the very beginning, that you get thrown in.
I think the words Randy's looking for are boo fucking ya.
I don't know. Maybe I was imagining that. I swear I...
Yes, you were.
Okay, fair enough.
The arcade games came for before the console games back
then. They had to have.
Yeah,
they had
no way they had redone all the artwork.
I mean, just thinking of my personal history. Like, I remember playing that game being far younger than when that movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel...
I'm talking like the arcade, like, cabinet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Turtle in Time started out.
Well, look up when that cabinet came out then. That's what you need to look up.
Didn't Turtles in Time play the original cartoon theme song?
They both did.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if... I know that the original one did, for sure. Because that was, like, straight off, like, a CD.
Yeah, this says the TMNT 4th Arcade, four players, they were in it as a boss character on the ship.
Which one?
On the ship level. Fourth arcade release.
So that's Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time, yeah.
My Judd Nelson fist in the air like at the end of Breakfast Club. What?
What was the first three arcade games?
It's the fourth game in the console release.
Oh.
So you have your original Turtle game, which was the...
The side-scroller.
Yeah, the odd one. Then there was the second one, which was the take on the arcade cabinet.
Right.
Yeah. Third one was the Manhattan Project.
Right.
Number four was Turtles in Time, which was one of the flagship releases for the Super Nintendo, if I remember correctly.
And they also had it as an arcade cabinet, so I think...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We were basically saying the same thing. We were just...
I thought you were saying the first cabinet.
Okay.
The very first Turtle cabinet beat-em-up game. Like,
gotcha. I never remembered that. I just remembered the Turtles in Time.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, there's definitely two of them.
Yeah, my bad.
Well, that's why we are at such a crossroad there, I guess, right? Wow. Another Turtle thing we brought up on the show a few times that I don't think we ever maybe stop and give a lot of light to was the... Rockin' Tour, the concert.
You know what? We don't actually. Album. We don't ever. We bring
we reference it,
up,
it we'll snicker it. About it, but we always move past it. Yep. Let's stop on it for a little bit. Randy, have you heard this thing?
I think I have. I think I actually had a CD, a cassette.
The tape, yeah.
Well, it was on CD too, but okay. CDs at that time were like new and
high-tech.
You got it
from Pizza Hut, you were getting the tape.
And that might have been where I got it from.
I thought you could get both. A Pizza Hut. I thought you could. I thought it was the only.
We might not have had a CD player then, so that's why.
Yeah,
I got
we
the
didn't.
Tape.
We surely didn't. That was like Jones is down the street got a CD player, but not old Jeremy and his family. But no, man, that was fucking everything. I mean,
that's what it was. The second arcade game had Pizza Power playing on it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Pizza Power. We've had this talk before, because I think when we went to 16-bit Bar and Grill when Dudes from Out of Town were in for Wizard last year, was it?
Mm,
and I think
yeah.
we like camped around the machine to hear it, didn't we?
No, because they didn't have any arcade games at the 16-bit Bar and Grill. It was only
they do.
Did they?
Fuck yeah, they do. It's like the whole back of the we didn't spend a lot of time back there. We just walked back once. I thought to hear that maybe it wasn't
me.
You.
No, I stayed out in the front the whole time.
Okay, maybe this was someone else. Yeah. A shitty memory, but still. Yes, I can verify. That's the truth. We're going to have to... Maybe I can splice some of those songs in here. Do you recall any off the top of your head there, Jack?
Yeah, Pete's Power, Stepping Stones, Walk Straight.
Damn.
I can hear you. That's all I can think of offhand.
The only thing I can remember is Leo with the guitar on the front of the... Like, the cover or whatever. The
you mean Michelangelo.
That's what I meant. Sorry.
You're good.
The album was good, except for the Splinter song.
Skipping Stones.
Yeah. No. April song. That one I didn't care for too much.
Oh, yeah. That was very throwaway. No Treaties in
no
Walk
treaties.
Straight, I think.
Yeah.
Which should we listen to first?
No Treaties. Do No Treaties.
Thank you. All right, now what do you want to hear? Just one more clip. We just got to give these people a clip. Walk straight?
Yep.
All right, I got to give them the opening in because that was just too good.
Walk straight! Walk straight! I can't hear you none that. Remember that we all have to grow. Everybody does it in a different way. So do it on your own. That was the turn of life. Walk straight. No need to mutate. Mutate. Never got to mutate. Got to walk straight. No need to mutate. Mutate. No need to if you're walking straight. Got to.
So, yeah, there's a little sample of our 1990s coming out of their Shell's Ninja Turtles tour. This was a traveling tour, kind of like Icecapade kind of shit.
Okay. Yeah, it was a big production show.
I remember seeing commercials for it.
You know, it's funny how with that tour being out the same time the films were, you know, there was a bar had been placed on what these things should look like. And those outfits were not.
No.
Ooh, they were bad. They were bad.
The heads had big holes in it. I mean, I get for ventilation being up on the stage running around.
Dancing and shit. Yeah. But
the animatronics were horrible. It was just normal puppet mouth moving. But just the look on them and their eyes were real buggy.
And the mouths only moved like when they would like bounce their head. It like was like a kind of
like
springy
jaw.
Yeah. That's how they did it for sure. But yeah,
didn't
I never
you get
saw
to meet one of those suits.
Yeah. Brooke was doing a TV spot down at what was that? Channel
like Channel 4? Was it 4?
45 or 6 or something. It's just down the road here, actually. But anyway, we were waiting backstage to carry stuff onto stage.
And sitting in the green room.
Yeah, and there were out of the changing room came a dude in a Michelangelo costume, and I about fell on my ass. I mean, because it's already like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. It's like early morning news, you know, and I'm like sipping coffee, trying to wake up, and then there's Michelangelo visible. It's like the visible version of caffeine, and I'm just like, whoa!
You're like looking like, what is in this coffee?
I just started talking to the dude, and yeah, he said that's where it came from, was from that tour, one of the suits used on that tour. And that looked better than any of the suits I had ever seen that, you know, were in like the pictures for the tour. But yeah, it was cool.
I watched the tour on YouTube one day. I was surfing YouTube. It was like 2008. And somehow I got onto Turtles and stumbled on the tour itself. And it was Shredder was he was a.
Yeah.
Travesty the way his helmet looked on.
Yeah, it's hard to take someone named the Shredder seriously when his shredding stuff is like obviously fabric.
Well, just the front brim of his helmet was just like a big U the front.
Yeah,
just it was so cheap.
Like, do you guys know who this character?
Did the costume designer actually watch anything?
Yeah,
but you know, if I had been a little bit younger at that time, I'd have eaten that shit
easily. Yeah.
I remember being taken to see Teddy Ruxpin on ice when I was real young. My mom took me and my buddy to go. And thank you for composing yourself, Randy, through that. But no, I remember at the time it being magical as shit, you know. And but looking back, obviously, you see all the smokes and mirrors and stuff. But fun stuff, nonetheless, I guess, right?
Lots of fun stuff.
Jack, what about you?
You pretty much hit it with going to the live show, the band.
Yeah.
That's one of my best memories of it. That and, of course, the movies.
The movies, yeah. How about the horrible side products to come out as a result of the Turtles?
The ripoffs?
Not even. Well, I mean, there is some humor and entertainment in the ripoffs. Brian Volkweis of the Toys That Made Us, he was telling us about some of the ones he had found, and he's always putting those on Instagram when he finds the generics, and they just never freaking cease to make me just laugh hysterically.
The Snailians, was that happen? Did that happen to be one of them?
No, they didn't. They didn't even give him a clever. It was just like upright reptile fighting men,
and
they
were just like in the UK because they didn't want ninjas, or they didn't want to use the word ninjas, so they just had it like
that. Was actually licensed stuff, what you're referring to. That was actual Playmate release stuff. They didn't want to use the word ninja because it was too violent. So overseas, it was Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
That's right. Yeah.
And there's a toy store up north, up in Mansfield, that has that movie star. Remember the movie star turtles we were talking about not too long ago? Mm-hmm. I said I enjoyed it. With Jay Bartlett, we were talking.
Yeah.
Because he had the bendable arms. That figure I had from a kid, they have on card up at that store, and it's one from the UK that says Hero Turtles.
Oh, wow.
$60, I think, was the price tag on it. I kicked myself in the ass for not buying it, but I imagine it's probably still
be,
there.
That would be worth it, I think.
Yeah.
I could justify that one.
Yeah.
I was talking about something different. The Snailians I'm talking about, it was like they took the concept of the turtles and like made it into something completely different. These were like mutated snails from outer space.
What?
And they were these little like 5-inch action figures that were rubber. And they had like this snap-on armor. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah, there's four of them and they were named after, I think, presidents maybe? Wow. I don't know. It was, yeah.
Yeah, the first time we had Kevin on the show, when we were talking about the radically rearranged Ronin Ragdolls, which, if you don't know who they are the kind of the equivalent to the Turtles, to the Shane Bookman character in Drawing Blood.
Yeah, just somebody else's
creation.
Mutant creation.
Yeah, which is our three female cats that know ninjutsu. And man, that comic that you got as a reward for Stretch Goal in the first Kickstarter was really good. And I know I'm talking like Kevin's handing me bags of cash as I'm saying each of these words, but that's not the case.
No, it was good.
These were amazing stories, amazing stories. But anyway, you know, he was talking about all the different people who had done stuff like these snails, ripped them off. And he said there was a version that were hamsters at one point, didn't he? One that were hippopotamus.
Oh,
jeez. there was even a third one. I can't even remember. I think there was a third one. But it's, Battletoads. I think of Battletoads. There's another one right there.
I mean, Street Sharks, Biker Mice from Mars.
There you go. Yeah. Keep going.
Samurai Pizza Cats.
Wow, Samurai Pizza Cats.
They had when the turtles and the trolls, they had stone protectors, which was like the troll dolls made badass somehow.
With the little gem in there.
Yeah.
Man.
Those, yeah. And then
that was a horrible phase of time.
Did you guys remember the Cowboys of Mu Mesa?
What?
Cowboys of Mu Mesa.
That name sounds familiar.
It was like, it was set in the Old West, but it was like,
it was like mutated bulls and oxen kind of shit.
Yeah.
That does sound familiar. Wow.
That was short lived though, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was real quick. I have the action figures, but that was like it.
Mm.
There's like a blue sheriff, like the bull was blue and then
I think of what's Babe the Blue Ox kind of a
look. Exactly.
Yeah. I remember that vaguely.
I
forget shows from that era. The other day I saw a picture of a Peter Pan Nintendo game that was from a series in the 90s I had totally forgotten about.
Really?
A Peter Pan cartoon that was really good looking back. And I want to say it was, remembering the animation to the best of my ability, it looks like it might have been done like the same people. Yep, I remember that.
Jack's I want to watch it so bad.
You never seen it?
No, it's vaguely familiar, but I gotta look it up now.
All cylinders are firing in Jack's brain right now.
Cowboys
stimulated.
Cartoon made him look more Disney, but the action figures were like pissed off, like they were like hulked
really
out.
Like gnarled. Yeah. I remember those. Okay, well, not only the ripoffs of the turtles like that, but what about like the. Like the cereals and
like
which I
product placement.
The cereal I will say was freaking good.
I don't remember the cereal.
And
is it like Lucky Charms?
Kind of. I would say that I am biased because it was Turtles, but no, I've looked for any kind of version of this cereal with any character on it just to eat it again. It was like, it was kind of like Chex, but they were a little bit softer. The Chex were made of more of like a Rice Krispie kind of a feel with Lucky Charm marshmallows.
Oh.
Really, really good. It was so good. I loved that cereal. I think Spider-Man cereal also capitalized on that. Okay. They made the little Chex like little webs. Yeah.
Okay.
And that was really good as well. But man, I will never forget that turtle cereal. I wish they would put that shit back out like they did with the high C or
the
Ecto coolers. Yeah.
The thing I remember though are the frickin' Hostess.
Yes. Cream filled pies. Oh, yeah. God, they were horrid. Those
green. Oh, I liked them as a kid.
You don't?
No.
I think they were like super limited release, weren't they?
They had them with. I don't recall. But they had like cherry ones, and they also had ones that had like the green mutagen slime.
And
that's obviously the one all the kids went for. And I remember like, Mom, I gotta get one. It's a turtle. It's got slime in it. And that first bite was so just like, oh. God, like never again did I have one. But there were also popsicles. You guys remember like the turtle head popsicles? They had like the M&M eyes and shit. Yeah. Those, you could get it like any swimming pool or
ball, man.
Any ice cream truck creeping down the neighborhood street. But also, I just bought these on eBay the other day. I don't know if you guys recall these little characters. These are little Ninja Turtle candy.
Oh yeah,
containers. They're. Dude, I had all four of them at one point. There used to be this candy store back where I lived. A little tiny candy store that you'd go in. They give you a little tiny bag, and like everything was like nickel and dime kind of stuff. And that's where I would get these. But the bottom would pop off, and there were like little like.
They were like balls, right?
Yeah. Like Smarties kind of tasting thing that would fill this, and then you could eat some, put the lid back on, and then play with your little turtle.
I miss these style turtles.
Yeah, these were fun, man. These were definitely fun.
It's like the dollar store, Dollar General. I got small little figure turtles that look like the original.
The little keychain ones. Mm-hmm. I saw those.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they are. They look really good.
The same exact colors as they were back in the day, too.
Yeah. Yep. And since I saw that NECA, since their first wave of animated turtles has gone so well, you know, I still haven't seen one in stores. Like,
no.
I look every time I'm in a Target, don't see him anywhere. Anywhere. I've one time saw one in a dude's hand, and I think I told this before. I stopped. He's like, dude, where'd you get that? And he acted like I was trying to steal it from him or something. Like, weird.
Get what?
Yeah, you know, it's exactly what it was. What? Well, I found this one's mine. I was like, dude, I'm not trying to take it. Where'd you get it? But they're continuing that line. They're now putting out April and Casey.
Oh, nice.
And
are they doing that? Is that what that foot soldier was? That toy con that I went to that I sent you that picture? I can't remember if it was. I don't think it was.
All the turtles now, I think Leo comes with Shredder. Another one of them
not
comes
the 18-inch ones.
No. The
little... The
like the... I don't know. Maybe they're... Are they 6-7 inch?
Like that. Yeah, they're like the 1/8 scale because those are what, quarter or something like that.
Well, I'm talking the cartoon ones. The ones I have are the movie ones, the actual like animated series ones. Like, yeah, so Leo comes with Shredder, and then another turtle comes with Krang, and then the other two turtles each come with a foot soldier. So it looks like it's going to be the same kind of thing. Maybe Casey and a foot soldier, April and a foot soldier. I can't remember if they were showing any new characters. I'll have to look at that picture again, but. It's so funny how, I guess not funny, it's awesome how all these, I don't know, maybe it's just from what I'm seeing because I'm only ever looking at turtle stuff, but NECA turtle stuff is booming. Like, that's, like, everybody wants it. Like, you can't keep that shit in the GameStop.
Right.
You know, like, I haven't been able to find them. I still look for the little ones. I can't find them anywhere.
So, you guys, you need to help me with something because this was bugging the crap out of me if we're talking toys and food. I don't remember McDonald's ever getting on the bandwagon with any type of Turtles toy, like, back in the day.
Or anyone, for that matter.
I think Burger King had something, because I remember, like, it was like a badge or something.
Burger King had the VHS, is what Burger King had first. Okay. When that show was booming, because I remember that. And I remember we all had VCRs, but like I was too young to understand the concept of being able to record something at home off the television. And the fact that my neighbor friend had one of these VHS turtle tapes, the FHE, they had the little Burger King logo on it. And that thing only had an episode. But the fact that he was able to control that episode.
And like watch turtles.
He could watch turtles anytime he wanted. Blew my fucking mind. And I, like, anytime I would go over there, he'd be like, what do you want to do? I was like, I'll watch that turtle tape again. You know, like, it's like, dude, we've seen it like 10 times. But I don't know. It's funny how things change over time, isn't it?
Yeah, it just, it surprises me that McDonald's didn't jump all over that, you know?
Pizza Hut was the only other one with the coming out of the shelves.
There's who did it. Them and Burger King.
Yep.
You would have thought there'd have been something else, wouldn't have you? Yeah. Like if they're doing the VHS, maybe like some toys or something.
Not even with the Michael Bay movie, there was nothing. No, we
not that I yeah. was. I would have had my fucking eye on that,
especially since we worked right next to a McDonald's. So
I think the new Nickelodeon Turtles had like a McDonald's toy because I think my son got one. Mm. But
the TMNT movie.
Yeah,
that one did have toys somewhere. Okay, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I forgot about that because I do remember seeing them at the toy store. But yeah, that is a weird thing, isn't it? You would certainly think.
Yeah, as popular as they were.
Yeah. I
mean, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I'll invest in that. I wonder, because certainly, I mean, it's not like properties weren't being bought up by fast food places to, you know, have toys in there. I don't know.
Yeah, it was just something that bothered me. I looked for a little while on the internet, and I could not find any McDonald's releases other than just those Burger King like badges and then the VHS.
Peculiar, man. That is peculiar. Oh, what else we have? Any other products, Randy, before we move on?
The home video games. Did you ever get a chance to play that TMNT Tournament Fighter?
I did, and let me tell you what, man. That game is hard. That game is
Tournament Fighter,
hard. He let me borrow the Sega Genesis TMNT Tournament Fighter, and
it's a Street Fighter clone.
Yeah. I got bored one day and I hooked it up here and Dark Leo just kicked my ass left and right on that screen. And I sat here. I admire it because it's not a quick game you can master. Right. There's an actual challenge to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's challenge to it. You have to learn it. You have to learn the character, how it fights. You have to learn your opponent. And, you know, after sitting here about 30 minutes, I didn't beat him, but I got close. Yeah. I had come a long way. But that's just it. It takes time and patience and attention.
Yeah.
You know, that's a thing a lot of other games don't really require a lot of.
You got to have skill right out the gate on that game.
Right, right.
Speaking of games, did you ever finish, I can't remember the title for that one. The Xbox One that came out a couple years ago.
Something Manhattan.
Not the Manhattan Project.
No.
It was something about Manhattan, though.
Something with Manhattan in the title. I can't recall. I didn't finish. I got to the very end boss fight with Krang, and I don't know. It was great all the way through. It was a great game. I loved it. There were little maybe nitpicky things I could find.
There was nitpicky things,
but for the most part, it was cool. I think each character had, like, their own skill sets. Like, Donnie obviously could do a lot more, like, drones and tech stuff. And, you remember the one that came before that?
That's the one I was actually thinking of, because I like that one.
Out of the Shadows. Like, me, you, and someone else. Was it Kyle, maybe, were playing that game?
No, it was Jeff and Alex. We were playing it one night, because Alex kept getting booted off, but that's his internet. It always happens.
Well, that was a fun game.
That one, yeah.
That had mechanic problems, but it was a good game.
Yeah, it was hard to use their special moves. It was
that and the camera angles were
were
really hard to use sometimes. But other than that, that was a solid game.
Yeah, that one was really fun.
That was fun because remember, didn't it just have a fighting option in it as well?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it did, or like a training option where you could just roll the training.
Yeah, because it was really hard to learn some of the moves. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was. Now, there was another game on Wii that I have that was a fighting game based off of the TMNT movie.
Okay. Yeah.
That has almost identical mechanics to Smash Brothers.
Okay.
It's a little wonkier than Nintendo, of course. Nothing's going to be as pristine and as clean as Nintendo is, but. Still a fun game.
Okay.
Really fun, because not only can you be the turtles and, you know, the obvious characters, but you can be Raph's, what was it, Night Stalker, Night Watcher.
Okay, like his alter ego.
Yeah. Okay. And he's got that ball and chain. Oh, yeah. He was so cool to fight with. And I can't remember who else is in there, but that was a good game.
Okay.
That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that game quite a bit. There was one more game that came to mind, 2003 era. Now, this one was on GameCube, and it was when the newer series came out in the early 2000s, maybe 2001, too. Just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on Fox.
Okay.
And it was more in the fighting style of kind of like Marvel's Ultimate Alliance.
Okay, kind of like that top kind
down. Kind of overhead angled down, but that was a solid game.
Okay. I think I might have passed that one.
And I think that just was, that game was around like the City at War arc they were doing in the series, because the last level was you storm Shredder's compound. And it's not like you find some tricky way of getting up there. It's like, fuck it, we're taking the hard way in. Nice. Floor by floor by floor, you fight your way up to him. And it was so fun. It was such a good game. A lot of solid turtle games out there. Now we're talking about it, isn't there? Any more that come to mind, guys?
That's all I can think of, actually.
Yeah, I can't. I can think of more toys, but not video games.
Yeah. Well, I think we've actually offered up a pretty good turtle convo here, right? Yeah. Another good turtle retro without repeating ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And definitely check out that earlier episode if you feel like we missed something.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everyone. Well, with that conversation behind us, I think we should just get right on to why everyone's really here, right?
Exactly.
Right?
The reason they're listening today.
And now joining us, the co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but here to talk about Volume 2 of Drawing Blood, which has been just as fun to read, in my opinion. We welcome the Alpha, the Omega, Mr. Kevin Eastman. Thank you so much for being back with us, Kevin.
Yay! So happy to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on again. Really appreciate it.
And in the same fashion as we did last time, we're going to be talking Drawing Blood up, but we got to talk a little bit of Turtles before we get there. And, man, there's been a lot of stuff happening with the Turtles as of late to talk about. The first thing I kind of wanted to touch on was the Turtles and Batman comic that made it to the animated movie form. And I was curious to see what you thought of that movie or what you thought of that comic. And, two, if this could possibly be the introduction of the Turtles into maybe a darker, like, movie, DVD world, like DC's been doing with their properties.
Oh, man, I'd really love that. I mean, that was, you know, when they finally did, The Killing Joke and Batman Year One, and, you know, even adapting Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns to animation and did it really faithfully. I really had fingers and toes and everything else crossed, hoping that, they might turn an eye on the Batman Turtles crossover that we were doing, as well as, Turtles in general, I guess, selfishly. I figured if that kind of worked, I would love to see, animated versions of the earliest Turtles done, a bit more edge, a bit more intended for the older audience like those. But man, as far as the, let me go jump to the series first, because working with the incredible James Tynion and Freddie Williams has been fantastic. And I kid you not, I literally just finished this morning my final two pages contributions to issue number 6 of series 3. And I'm going to be mailing those off to Freddie Williams tomorrow. So we're just wrapping that up. And what a great series it's been. Incredible. Such a wonderful ride and so much fun. And I was thrilled that, it was probably one of those really tough things that when they said they were going to be working on the Batman Turtles, Batman versus Turtles as an animated project 2 years ago, I had to keep it a secret for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
It was really hard.
It
was so much. Even I did a couple. You guys have seen the movie, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Right. No, there's, and if you recall, the scene where Michelangelo is explaining the coolness factor of Batman, and the drawings on the drawing board are mine. That was my little.
Really?
Yeah, especially the one where Batman is, his drawing of Batman, where he's got big muscles and long claws and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But it was fun to contribute to that, and I thought it was a really wonderful adaptation. I love that it had the edge that it did, and also my friend Andy Kuhn, who's no stranger to the Turtles universe as an artist, did a lot of the conceptual designs and artwork for that development. So I thought it was a lot of fun, and what a great treat, you know, for all of us older kids, big kids.
Exactly. It was so much fun. Seeing one, it was hilarious to see Mikey squeeze him, his head into the Batman cowl a time or two there. But the most satisfying thing was seeing Batman and Oroko Saki fight. I mean, when you think of the two warriors who never lose, you know, from like comics, it's these two guys, you know, and so to see them butt heads was incredible. Incredible. I'd love to see it play all the way out.
Just that little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how comic book fights happen. Yeah, you can't let a winner be seen, right?
Just a tease.
You got to keep the question going forever.
Yes, yes. Yeah, but that was, I'll tell you, a geek out moment for me when the very first series one of the Batman Turtles crossover, when I got to draw Batman and Shredder and Turtles, I mean, on the same cover, and then find out they were actually still going to print it, that nobody was punking me or lying to me. That was probably, you know, one of my biggest uber geek out of life moments ever. It was so much fun.
Yeah, you read my mind. That was going to be my next question. Seeing the Turtles with Batman, that would be cool as I can't imagine.
The nice thing would be me with Batman.
that's comparative on our level, yes.
Or me with the Turtles, I think.
There you go. Now, we've also been seeing online rumors about yourself and a live-action Netflix something coming to fruition, possibly. Is this just smoke being blown up our asses from the internet, or is there some truth to this? And if there is truth, is there turtle truth?
Another two-year secret.
Another two-year secret.
It's funny because I read that after, especially after San Diego Comic-Con, which it came out of an interview, I think maybe even on one of the panels. But the question to me was, you know, was if I would like to see that, if I would like to see an edgy Daredevil-esque style version of the Turtles done a la Netflix. And I was like, yes, of course I would. I'd love that more than anything.
I see.
And that unfortunately got turned into me saying that there was going to be one. In all my heart and soul and in everything in me, I wish that I was leaking a secret, but that would be something I would love to see more than anything.
Well, I'm glad I posed the question the way seriously. I did then, because there goes the internet getting me again.
I've been pining over what it could have been, too.
I know. Like, I'm so excited for this.
You know, I'd love to see even, like, can you imagine, like, I don't know, like, if you took an approach to it, like, maybe even a Gotham TV series where you sort of went, you know, maybe what was happening in New York, Bleecker Street, Casey Jones, April, things like that, pre-Turtles, and sort of edge into it where by year, you know, three or four that, you know, suddenly the Turtles arrive on the scene. That would be a little man.
Awesome. Yeah, it would.
You have my money.
Who's punching? <Yeah.
laughs> I'm already mystified thinking about it. Yeah.
Well,
that's got to happen. All right. Okay.
I know, we're all deep in thought going like, man, that would be so cool.
I'm staring off into space with my mouth agape like, oh, wow. Another big thing happening with the Turtles right now in the IDW series is the fifth new turtle, Jenica. And my God, let me applaud you guys really quick and say what an awesome addition this was to the series. And I think, you know, probably a lot of people like myself, when they first heard, oh, there's a fifth female turtle coming, maybe shuddered a little bit.
You know where your mind goes.
You know where your mind goes. Exactly. It goes to Venus a little bit, mm-hmm. which... whatever, she is what she is from her time, yada yada. But man, it was done so well, and I was just very curious, what was it that made you guys decide, you know, after, you know, Venus wasn't the biggest of hits, we're going to try the fifth female turtle again?
Well, it was definitely, you know, I put it all on the incredible gifted and talented Tom Waltz, who's I'm hands down his biggest fan, and I can't say enough that, you know, I have my contributions on the series. Bobby Curnow, series editor, is gifted as well, and he has so much creativity he brings to the series. But really, when you think about it, Tom Waltz will have shortly, and I think he's working on it this week, will have written all 100 issues over the last 9 years of this series, and they're fantastic in every way, shape, and form. I'm so proud of him, so proud to be part of the series. And when we get to issue 50, and we were looking at issue 100 and where we wanted to take the series of a series of arcs, one of the things that Tom wanted to bring in, we all are big fans of, you know, strong female characters.
Right.
So his introduction of the character Jenica in 51, and she was intended to be kind of like maybe over one series arc, possibly two, depending. But we really fell in love with her, and the fans did as well. And by the time we got to issue 60, 65, we had had this idea, well, it would be great to bring a girl turtle in to the series, but it really has to be done carefully, thoughtfully, in the right way. Because, yes, I lived through Venus. I love that series. The fans did not, but I love the idea that we had a female turtle. But Tom really loved that idea and embraced it. And so we felt, and it was his idea and inspiration, if we bring someone into the family through what has always been the most important part of the IDW Turtle series, which is story first, is that we bring someone that everybody already loves as a character and make a logical transition into a female turtle, that we hope that they would, you know, embrace it. And my goodness, they really have. Everybody has. And so we are so proud and so thrilled. And again, I commend Tom Walsh for his direction, his creativity, and the way that he crafted that evolution from, like I said, probably issue the mid-60s all the way up to issue 95 when we could finally make that happen. The moment was right, to the development was right. So, yeah, that was another secret that we kept for many years. But thank you guys for loving Jenica as much as we do. And it was, we like everything in the IDW Turtle series, it was done right. And that's to Tom Walsh's credit.
She's absolutely amazing. And you already answered what my next question was going to be, if that was the plan for her the whole time. But you're saying it obviously was not. It was just a character you'd brought in and just kind of decided along the way.
Yes, that was, and that's what's been so wonderful. And I touched on it just briefly in my last lengthy monologue. But Tom is always, we all feel the same. Story first, let's tell a great story. You know, we're not bringing in characters here and there or killing someone off to bump up sales or do anything, gimmicky or anything. We want it to be just a good, solid story. We write this material for us. We write the kind of stories that we want to read. And so with Jenica in every bit of the evolution of any of the characters, whether it's Hun or Slash or new ones that we've created and brought into the series, it's all about timing, and it's got to follow a nice logical path, a story evolution. So we knew about it and planned on it for a while, and it had to wait until this right time to evolve the way it did. So again, thanks for noticing, and we really love it. We really love the series, and we love the character Jenica becoming part of the family.
Yeah, I'm excited to keep reading. I'm waiting for that second printing of 96 because I missed the first one because it was just off the shelves as quick as it was put on there. But yeah, it's just been a great series all the way around, from Dark Leo to Donnie's apparent death to the Splinter having the foot. It's just surprise after surprise. This series always keeps it fresh. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Thank you, guys.
And another series now that's keeping it fresh. I know that we loved it as soon as we got our copies was Drawing Blood.
Oh, yeah.
Volume 1. And maybe I'm being presumptuous. You described this book as the fictional true stories. And again, maybe I'm being presumptuous, but I feel like there's a lot of yourself, a lot of truth in this book as far as your real life is concerned.
What was so fun about the development of the series was it started out basically as a semi-autobiographical, in the sense that, some of the experiences I had, not only as a creator and a self-publisher working with Peter, experiences in Hollywood, toys, animation, and those things in it. So there was anecdotal in many respects, and would write things that were so crazy to me that nobody would believe they actually happened anyway. And then as I going back now probably 25, 30 years, as I get to meet other people within the world of comic books, whether it be, guys like Howard Chaykin who would tell stories, or Frank Miller, or, just so many different wonderful creators and inspirations that would tell about their experiences, I sort of started crafting this idea of creating a new character and sort of putting a little bit of everybody I knew. So there's a little bit of me, there's a little bit of, a bunch of different creators and experiences. And then was even more fun is sort of taking the Spinal Tap approach, I guess, if you will, is that because he's kind of a fictional character, you can really take an anecdote or an experience and really twist it and turn and really put this guy through some paces. But from the beginning, it was always designed to be set in the world of comics, some that I've rarely seen done, you know, character within the behind the scenes of the creation, the concept, the success, the downfall, the search for creativity, the incredibly bumbling mistakes we all do as humans, whether you're, you know, a rock star or a sports star or a comic book creator, you know, everybody, you know, ends up, you know, taking similar paths of, you know, missteps and trying to find their way back. And so when I mind melted with the wonderful David Avalone, we really, this character that was my idea became this character that was our idea. And we put all of our experiences. David spent a long time working in and around Hollywood, which is a wonderful twisted experiences, set of experiences to bring into it. So you sort of throw that with Ben Bishop, his main series artist, into the mix, and Troy Little, that we've had so much fun. And the reception to the concept, you know, with the first series, not only the Kickstarter 2017, but the release of the four issues, well, the fourth issue is coming out this month, has been great. So that we had an original 12-episode arc. So the Kickstarter we're doing right now is for issues 5 through 8 and some extras. So if you guys out there and have enjoyed the twisted world of drawing blood so far, come hang out with us. Appreciate even the $10 contribution, and we'll get that next series rocking and rolling before you know it.
Awesome. And well worth the money. I mean, the layers of creativity in this book are amazing. You know, not only the story being told, but how it's being told. Jack, I don't know if you remember, there were like sequences where Shane would, you know, remember something from the past, and it would then jump from Ben Bishop's art to like black and white kind of classic gritty Kevin Eastman, like early Turtles
paper.
I don't even, maybe in certain scenes, but just the change of art to represent that flashback. And then it never has to be really explained again. Anytime you see that, you realize you're seeing his memory. I just adored that. I absolutely loved that.
Yeah, that was kind of, you know, I love that you picked up on that, because that was really something that was important that we wanted to show, you know, without sort of every line of, you know, dialogue having to mean something. But, you know, just those moments where, you know, in life that when, you know, we drift back to a flashback of something that happened, and those, in one instance, one of those flashbacks that Ben did the pencils and I did the finished inks and dual shade on it, was I remember I was in the first drawing blood where I would always be at my room drawing constantly, not doing my chores, not doing my homework. And I remember my mom coming up once and looking at what I was doing, and she's like, "I don't get this. I don't understand it. You better be good at this, because you're not good at anything else."
Wow.
It's like one of those things that I was like, you know, I remember very clearly, and it was very scary, and at the same time, it was inspirational as well as it scared me to death. But so it's fun to be able to include some moments like that, and I love especially the scenes in there where Shane's creation, the radically rearranged Ronin Ragdolls, actually come back and haunt him in real life.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit under the influence of too many martinis, and they sort of, you know, harass him and beat him up for abandoning them when he sold the rights to him. And there's even a funny quip at the end of issue 4, which is coming out in August, which you've seen the trade, is where Shane is at the New York City Comic Con talking about with Morgan Harbor, who wants to turn the ragdolls into aliens instead of mutants. In his new radically dark, radically rearranged Rona Ragdolls movie. So there's some really great moments. And actually, I'm in that issue, and Ben's in that issue, Dave's in that issue. So I actually meet Shane Bookman in that issue, issue 4. Coming out, so it's fun. It's fun to do those kinds of things within this series. It's sort of the story behind the stories, as we say.
It's so funny you said that, because that was my next question. That exact scene was the panel. You know, again, being that this is the fictional true story, did that play out? I don't want to say exactly what played out, but did it play out at that panel? Was that something that actually happened?
No, that's sort of the best part, is that, you know, there was a mistake back in when they were developing the 2014 Turtles movie, that Michael Bay had actually said that Turtles were going to be aliens, not mutants. Right. And it was one of those things that I think he hadn't completely tuned into the project, and there was a lot of things going on in his life, and I think it was said, and the fans' reaction was so understandably so volatile. That any consideration of even doing that was quickly pulled back. So there was never that kind of experience, but I just loved that whole story where it's like, you know, there's going to be this planet of turtles creatures out there, and that was so ludicrous and so stupid that we really wanted to sort of, again, take a thread of something that had a moment in time, you know, years ago, and wanted to really turn it into something that was a much bigger event. And Shane Bookman's, as you said, completely fictional true story. So it's fun to do that stuff. So and again, where we have a character where we're able to manipulate and have a lot of fun with him, and really put this guy through some paces that we can take bits and pieces and really push and pull in lots of different directions, and do the same thing we do with the turtles, try to write a great story that is engaging, people get into.
So what can we then expect from volume 2 that's going to be coming out? Where does the story go from where it's been left off from issues 1 through 4?
Well, it's going to be...
What can you say?
Issue 5, and I'll, because, you know, David and Ben will probably kill me if I give too much away.
Okay.
Yeah, but issue 5 right now is we're about halfway through. We will have it finished. Our goal is to, you know, everybody that is willing to jump on and help us with the Kickstarter, September 1st, you will see issue 5. Anybody that wants it, if you come in and join the Kickstarter, you get a digital copy of issue 5, so you can see where it's going. And it's the first leg of their journey. They go to Hollywood and have some pretty interesting experiences there. So that's just issue 1. It continues on from there. We continue to build on, you know, Shane launching his Bring On the Future Metropolis stage show in New York City, the Lithuanian gangsters who are out for blood, you know, crazy ex-wives, girlfriends, and, of course, the radically rearranged Ronin Ragdolls who are haunting and taunting him the whole way. But, yeah, issue 5 is the first part of a leg of a story to set Hollywood. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm laughing because you know, Ben sent me in some of the pages that he's working on just today, and I would like laugh out loud, funny stuff. So
nice. I just love that his inner demons are the cat characters he created, you know, that have brought him to where he is. That's just such a nice addition to that story being told. I love it. And what great characters the Ronin Ragdolls are in themselves.
Absolutely.
That issue was freaking priceless, and I cannot wait for more. And it looks like a stretch goal will be getting an issue 2 of the radically rearranged Ronin Ragdolls made.
Yes, actually, and thanks for the kind words. We really loved, you know, when we came up with the idea for the 3 samurai cats named after famous animators, you know, Tezuka Miyazaki and Otomo, and, you know, the sort of the growing up in Queens, the Spider-Man, you know, all these little isms that we wanted to tell as a straight up recreation of that 1991 comic book, and just had so much fun doing it. Really fell in love with the cats even more. But for this series, because it is set in this fictional universe, that there was a radically rearranged Ronin Ragdolls cartoon series, we all remember, right? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Well, much like with the Turtles, Archie Adventures, Troy Little had this brilliant idea to, why don't we do a 2-part series? Kind of a giant size special based on the radically rearranged Ronin Ragdolls adventure series. So based on the Ragdolls animated series, this is going to be a 2-part adventure, which is riotous, laugh out loud, and it's those fun-loving cats and going down. It's just a brilliantly fun issue. So that's going to be one of the stretch goals that we'll do if we get there, and it's laugh out loud funny. And then the other stretch goal is, you know, we're doing a... much like with anything, the Turtles, when I do any kind of project, I always start a big, giant notebook on it. And in this case, I started the fictional Shane and Paul Bookman sketchbook, which is the creation sketchbook of the radically rearranged Ronin Ragdoll. So that'll be printed and be a stretch goal if we are lucky enough to get there as well, that you guys will find quite amusing as well.
Well, it looks like at the rate you're going, we're going to see it.
Yeah.
So I can't freaking wait.
Oh man, you know, it's like, and I can't, you know, well, thank you, and thank you again, because it is, you know, and I've said this a lot this year, as we're celebrating the 35th anniversary of the Turtles, is that, you know, back in 1984, when Pete and I were struggling and putting together this self-published crazy idea, it was my Uncle Quentin who gave us a $1,200 loan, so that was our, you know, early crowdfunding sourcing relatives to help make that first issue happen. And so when I'm doing this with the fans, being supported by the fans to do Drawing Blood, it takes me right back to that same place, is that there's nobody to say, you know, what we can and can't do with the series. It's out of the pure love and creation of the series, and I feel very much like I did back then. So we're having the time of our life, and we thank the fans for coming out and supporting it, because we couldn't do it otherwise.
We're enjoying the hell out of it ourselves, and I cannot wait to get on board. And for those people who have a little extra money and are like me, can be won over by a T-shirt with anything, I believe there's a tier that has a Radically Rearranged Ronin Ragdoll T-shirt. Man.
I know. I thought I saw that. I was like,
if that's not incentive, I don't know what it is. What is? I really don't. It looks sharp. Mm-hmm. Looks sharp. Might I suggest, too, you know, since you've already covered a little earlier that, you know, Shane Bookman doesn't exist in place of you. You all, you know, you and David and Ben exist in the same universe. And now that we've seen Shane and Kevin cross paths at this convention, how about a Radically Rearranged Ronin Ragdoll TMNT cross up here?
Oh,
right.
That would be awesome. I'd love that. I'll have to.
You hear the hesitation in his voice at first. Yep.
Now this one will spread around like the Turtles live action series rumor, right?
There you go. No,
start posting it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then I'll get a call from Nickelodeon's lawyers. And like,
well, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. One last question, and this is kind of deviating from Drawing Blood, going back to the Turtles, but it just kind of dawned on me as we were having this conversation, is if there were to be a darker animated film made of the Turtles, is there a particular story arc you'd like to see done, or would it just be those first first five or six issues?
Honestly, I really felt that and feel it sincerely, is like, you know, I love that. You know, you could go back to the very original series, you know, the Eastman and Laird black and white series, and you could go that route. But I have a real fondness for, the updated version of that, which would be, you know, I would say that, you know, we'll never get a chance to see that series again that Peter and I did. But I feel like the IDW Turtle Universe is the closest that will come to that series, not only, you know, tonally with the edge and the attitude and things that I felt that. Many of the story arcs within the IDW universe would bring that edge to an older audience story, where I think you could even put a bit more of an edge to it. So I would start with the IDW series, right from what Dan Duncan, you know, what Tom and we all did with Dan Duncan in the first 12 issues. Of course, the Dark Leo series was fantastic. I feel like there's a lot of great material to mine in that series, but
you are correct.
We'll see. You know, it's sort of fingers and toes crossed, and sort of see what the
Of the answer I was hoping for there. Kind of the answer I was hoping for. Not that I'd love to see any of it make it to animated film, but yeah, I mean, like Dark Leo or any of that kind of stuff in animated form. Holy cow.
That would be crazy.
Wow, it would be amazing.
Thank you. No, that'd be awesome, yes.
Well, I want to remind everyone who's listening, again, you have until August 31st to head over to Kickstarter and back Drawing Blood Volume 2. Man, any level of backing, you are walking away with a ton of stuff. This is a very generous Kickstarter. You get a lot for what little bit of money you give to make it happen. So we'll put links on our website and through social media to help get people over there. But Kevin, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show, and I just want to thank you again so much for being here with us today, man.
Absolute pleasure talking with you guys, as always. Look forward to it. Let's circle back and talk again sometime soon.
I'm down for that. All right, everyone, and there you have it. Our conversation once again with Kevin Eastman. Always surreal.
I got to get on the bandwagon awesome. With this Kickstarter.
He's such a nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's so generous, one, with his time, but two, creating such awesome, awesome material. Yeah. We're big fans for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can find Kevin on Twitter at KevinEastman86. And you can find David Avalon on Twitter at DAvalon. And Ben Bishop at Bishart, B-I-S-H-A-R-T. And Shane Bookman, the fictional character from Drawing Blood, has his own Twitter handle, too.
He's got his own, right?
At Shane Bookman. So be sure to follow these gentlemen, and also be sure to follow the links we've provided for you to head over to the Kickstarter, show your support, and get in on this. I mean, we're not just telling you this because we're kissing ass here. We've already got what we wanted. He's already gone. Kevin's already gone. We don't have to kiss his ass anymore. This is straight from the heart.
We did that a while ago.
Right, you are, Jack. But this is straight from the heart. We genuinely really mean. These books are good. Check them out. Read them. And I think Volume 1 and even the Radically Rearranged Ronin Ragdolls, you can just buy at a comic book store.
I believe so, yeah.
And yep. If they don't have it, just order it. Order it that way if you want to check it out before you back the Kickstarter. But good stuff.
Definitely worth it.
Promise you. Mm-hmm. And with that, Jack, what do we have on the website?
Go to cannedairpodcast.com where you can see show highlights, guest info, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, see some of our YouTube videos, buy some merch, become a patron. And if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
Don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. I'm going to try to put some visuals up this week with the conversation we were having. Definitely these little turtle containers here, candy containers that were in question. If you guys can think of any other picture, maybe that picture of Token Razar.
Yep.
Would you shoot that over to me?
Yes, sir.
We're definitely going to throw that on social media, too. Give you guys some visuals for our conversation. But also, head over to patreon.com/CannedAirPod or just follow the link on our website if you want to become a patron and get access to the Canned Air Patreon pod, only available to those who donate on Patreon. And you can hear episodes like, again, number 11, The Con with Kevin and Canton, where I give a very detailed but entertaining
it
story.
It was entertaining. It wasn't drawn out at all.
You guys were captivated.
Yeah, it was... I don't think you could have dialed it down anymore.
Every detail was necessary. Yes, it really was. Absolutely. It really was. So if you want to check that out, episode number 11 on Patreon page. Again, patreon.com/CannedAirPod. And once again, go into those Wizard World shows. Use Canned Air at checkout in the promo box. Cool 10% off your tickets. Randy, what did I forget?
So if you guys want something a little bit more cerebral with these two guys, check out What If. You guys just did the Thanos snap?
Yeah, what really happened. Yep.
Yeah.
So
that was an interesting conversation, too. Really went down avenues I wasn't expecting. Mm-hmm. But that's how those episodes do.
Yep.
They always go way off from what you expect.
As you get talking, you think of stuff.
It challenges your mind. Yep. Not this show doesn't do that. No. We're just here to just give you cheap laughs.
Which is why I'm not on What If.
If you want your mind challenged, head over to whatifpod.com. Just search Canned Air Productions in your podcast player choice. Should bring up both shows, and you can enjoy both of them. Right?
There you go. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it indeed, Jack. And I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I'm Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Parents are mean, so I'm running away from home.
Where are you gonna go?
I don't know yet, but that'll show them.
It sure will.
Shipwreck!
Parents just don't understand, and it gets lonely on the road, so be sure to listen to the Canned Air podcast.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
I thought I was going
to
burp.
That went over my head. I'm sorry.
Just that we try not to do inside jokes, but referencing stuff from older episodes.
Okay. Sorry.
Still over there.
I'm lost. I'm sorry.
I just got lost.
Okay. I like turtles.
Yeah.
I like turtles.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!